Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole vibrant life starting now. The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes. Today, I'm so excited to be talking with Dr. Andrea Brockman. She is a biological dentist and CEO and co-creator of ExploreHolistic.com. Today, we're going to dive into what is biological dentistry, how to keep our mouth healthy, what sort of things like toothpaste and mouthwash and floss should we be doing regularly and how often. We also get into the bigger picture, like how nutrition influences oral health, how various diseases can be related to oral health, and how oral health and like our chewing and all those things can affect our digestion. We really get into how it's all related. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Please send me your questions and feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Welcome to Nourish and Shine. Today I'm talking with Dr. Andrea Brockman. Thank you so much for being here, Andrea.
It's my pleasure.
I'm so excited to talk with you today about holistic approaches to oral health. But first, I would love for you to tell our audience all about yourself.
I have started out as an intensive care nurse and decided that I would like to work with healthier people. So I went to dental school. And when I started treating patients, I found that I wasn't afraid to treat patients that were sick and medically compromised. So I ended up actually treating the very patients I thought I was not going to see anymore. And most of them came to me to take care of their dental problems and had heart attacks or strokes or kidney failure or MS or cancer. And so I developed a practice that was treating the dental needs of medically compromised patients, and kind of grew from there, morphing into what we call now a biological dental practice. So there was no such thing, and it wasn't taught in dental school, but it was something that I had learned about once I had started working with these patients, and ironically myself had symptoms of what I now know of as mercury poisoning. This actually started on my journey into holistic healthcare.
That brings up a lot of questions on my end. The first thing I'd like to ask is, can you tell me about biologic dentistry and kind of what that involves and how it's different?
In dental school, you really learn technique, how to be a really good dental carpenter, how to be able to diagnose and treatment plan dentition to your teeth, how to keep your mouth healthy, but it's rarely related to the rest of the body. And the reason for this is that there is a separation between medicine and dentistry. Dentists are not permitted to practice medicine, and medical doctors don't know very much about the mouth. So there's a void. And that void is really being filled by dentists who are looking at the mouth as being a mirror to the rest of the body's health and how it also influences the health of the body, and how by taking care of dental procedures, them taking a look at infections, balancing of the jaws, heavy metals, things that may be affecting, compromising an immune system, all of these things go into a healthier person. And so we look at dental materials and we look at imbalances and we look at infections in a different way than a traditional dentist would look at it, only because it's really not taught in dental school. So you have to learn about these things in continuing education.
You mentioned you had your own journey with mercury poisoning. Can you tell us more about that?
I'm still suffering from it, and it's been probably 30 years since I first detected it. But basically, the problem with heavy metal toxicity is that it is also not taught in medical school. And so therefore, there are no tests that medical doctors learn to see if you have high mercury levels. And consequently, there's no treatment. And the problem with mercury toxicity is that it's a poison. And it gets into every cell in your body and can affect every cell in your body, every system in your body. And you begin to have symptoms on levels that of all systems that it's hard to diagnose and treat because of the tests, normal blood tests, normal urine tests don't show up. So in my case, I was having symptoms of heart arrhythmias, of panic attacks, of digestive problems, of headaches, thyroid malfunctioning, infertility issues. There was just so many things on so many levels that I was being affected, and every test was coming up normal. Really, just in, I would say, curiosity started to look in on alternatives because I wasn't being helped by the traditional, conventional medical system. And that's where I began to see, and this was many years before it's become popular, of things that can be done to detoxify the body safely, to, you know, without shutting down kidneys or causing liver failure or any of the things that can happen with mercury poisoning. Began to see the importance of nutrition, supplements, things that would improve my stress levels, being more present, mindful of what I'm doing. And these are things all before it became popular. And now it's so much easier to find practitioners who are going to help people with natural means of being able to get healthy and stay healthy. And I have to say that this was one of the reasons why my husband, who's also a dentist, we set up a website for holistic health practitioners so that people could find a practitioner that would be able to help them with a problem that they're having. If they need more energy, they're too fatigued, or they have pain, or they have infertility issues, or they want better digestion, or they need to be more mindful, or their stress level is high. Depending on how they would like to improve their life, they're able to find practitioners that could help them with their particular problem, even if they don't even know what it is that these practitioners do or the modalities that they offer. So we offer that in response to what actually we were going through. We needed people to help us with things that, and we didn't even know what was available. So now we make that available to the general public.
Your website is really nicely laid out. And I love when you click on modalities and therapies, there's a great search feature, which is really user-friendly. So it says things like ease stress or manage weight, increase energy. And then you can say applies to men, women, children, pets, which is a really neat way to go about it.
It differentiates us from other directories, which are finding a practitioner near you, which is also something that people may know. But if they really don't know all the options that are available to them that other practitioners can do, this is a way for them to find out.
And I love that it includes all different practitioners. So it's the whole spectrum of holistic practitioners.
It is. And, you know, for instance, if somebody is looking for problems with digestion, they may not even realize that a dentist could help them with that. Right. Could possibly be their teeth. That's a problem.
Yeah. And so let's get into that. So let's just start with digestion. How are dentists, especially biological dentists, able to help with some of the chronic conditions that we see pretty often? You mentioned chronic infections, but also digestion is just so key.
Well, if people are not able to chew their food properly, they're not going to be able to fully absorb the nutrients that they need, and digestion is compromised. So there are a number of reasons why people wouldn't be able to chew properly. The biggest one is people are in such a hurry that they're eating so fast and swallowing their food whole. But what some of the other reasons why people can't is because they're in pain. They have missing teeth. They have imbalances in their bite. And these things can be corrected to be able to have at least the start of digestion be proper, which is in the mouth, because you have to really chew effectively so that the process begins and the enzymes that are in your saliva will start to break down the food before you even swallow it. So, you know, it's you have to be so mindful of how you're eating, how often, portions, how fast, what time of day. All these things will affect digestion. And then, of course, the condition of your teeth and gums themselves, infections, inflammation, all of these things are going to affect not only digestion, but really the health of your whole body.
Yeah, and that's something I've been studying a lot about lately. I'm working on getting certified in functional medicine. And one of the things they talked about quite a bit was, you know, how the oral bacteria can be an issue, like it's part of the microbiome and can really have an effect even possibly on SIBO and other like chronic health conditions, not to mention cardiovascular disease as well, which is pretty widely known.
Let me tell you a story about that. I have a good friend who was complaining for months that she's having sinus problems and her earaches, and she was having, you know, headaches, and she'd been to every single doctor and everything was coming up normal. I said, she was going to the ENT, and I said, why didn't you just have them take an x-ray of your sinuses and see if you have a root canal that may be abutting into the sinus? You could have an infection that's brewing there, and that can be affecting your sinus and your ears. She says, oh, I have root canals, you know, I mean, all over my mouth. I'm sure it's not that. He would have told me. And I said, well, have you, you know, see your dentist and find out. She just didn't want to listen. She kept getting worse. She ended up, she couldn't breathe. And she was so sick, they had to rush her to the hospital. Found that she had a condition called subacute bacterial endocarditis that affected her mitral valve. And they had to do emergency surgery on her. And of course, they took a culture of what was causing the infection. And it was a bacteria that was from her mouth. She knew that I had explained about this to her a month or two before she ended up in the hospital. And yet it was just something that the doctors don't even look at. Yeah. They just don't even look at it. And she almost died.
What are some approaches to deal with that? Or how do people even start addressing kind of infections or inflammation in the mouth?
Well, first of all, you can actually see inflammation in the mouth in the form of gum disease. You can probably be sure that if you're showing signs of gum disease or periodontal disease, that it's happening elsewhere in the body. There is a big connection between periodontal disease and cardiovascular disease. It's really the same bacteria that's in there. The plaque that you see on the teeth, it can also be plaques inside the arteries. Cleaning your teeth and getting rid of the plaque is a way of reducing the bacteria in your mouth, but it's not correcting the problem throughout your body. There are many ways of reducing bacteria in the mouth. There's mouth rinses with essential oils in it. There's oil pulling. There's changing the pH from acidic to more alkaline using things like baking soda. So there are things that can be done that will shift the balance so that bacteria are not welcome there. That's one of the ways. Diet is certainly another way. What's causing a lot of this plaque to form usually is an imbalance in electrolytes, or it could be an imbalance in hormones, or it could be an imbalance in the microbiome of your gut. There's so many things that can go into seeing the inflammation in the mouth and the bacteria. It's not just local. It's not just how well you're cleaning your mouth. It's systemic.
One of the things I was thinking about as you were saying that is not all of the bacteria is bad either, right?
And so it's not all bad.
Balance. And I've seen some various products out there like probiotic toothpastes and mouth rinses and things like that. What's your thoughts on those?
To tell you the truth, I don't know a whole lot about these probiotic toothpastes. You know, so many products are there to reduce bacteria, and that there's some good bacteria that are, you know, that are normally there, and this probiotics are are supposed to replace it, but I'm not sure how that works if you've already used a mouthwash that's killing bacteria, because it's going to kill that bacteria too. I don't feel like I know enough about it to comment.
When it comes to mouthwashes, what are your recommendations there? Should people be using mouthwashes or not? And like, what sorts of mouthwashes do you recommend for more of a holistic?
Well, I think it's not just the type of mouthwash that you use, but when you're using it. I think that mouthwash has a purpose of trying to get rid of pathogenic bacteria. And many of the commercial mouthwashes have alcohol, which can dry out your gum tissue. And it's really not effective when you have a dry area because that proliferates bacteria. I like to use a mouthwash that is made of essential oils. And usually they'll have things like oil of lavender, peppermint, thyme, there's tea tree oil. I mean, there's just a number of different essential oils that are in commercial mouthwashes that are being made. They're all herbs. Some of them have herbal additives to it, or you can even make your own. But I feel that an essential oil is good because it actually has the ability to penetrate into the gum tissue and get into what's called the sulcus. This is the area that your floss can go down between your tooth and your gum. So, and that's where the bacteria reside. So essentially what you want to do is take a mouthwash that has essential oils in it and swish that around your mouth for at least a minute. And what that does will penetrate into the sulcus, kill a lot of the bacteria, neutralize it. And the second thing then you want to do then is then floss your teeth using preferably an unwaxed floss if you can get it through. And that's going to then get down underneath your gum and lift out the plaque that now has dead bacteria. So you're moving it into an area in the mouth that you can now brush off with your toothbrush. So it's mouthwash first with essential oils, then flossing, and then brushing. And then if it's really of a concern to you, again, if you have periodontal problems, you can actually then use a water pick or any type of hydrofloss or any type of reservoir where you can actually put some more of the mouth rinse in there or an irrigation and irrigate your gums out. And that's, to me, is the best way to be able to use mouthwash, floss, and toothpaste.
As far as toothpaste go, what do you recommend there?
I like a toothpaste that is or tooth gel or powder that is fluoride free, doesn't have any sodium lauryl sulfate, essentially has some essential oils in it, could have peppermint again. Some have other things that like baking soda, which will help to whiten the teeth as well. Basically, it's just something that's going to be to your taste. And this is especially important to have a fluoride-free toothpaste for children because fluoride has its problems, and it's in a lot of the water systems, and it certainly has made its way into the diet through juices, through anything that's reconstituted with water. Children are really getting enough fluoride. A lot of times they'll swallow the toothpaste, and that's giving them way too much fluoride than they need. And it's generally not going to be something. And this, we have, you know, disagreement with the American Dental Association, but it's not something that is really going to protect them totally against tooth decay. You know, the diet has much more of an influence on their ability to develop tooth decay.
Is that mostly because of lack of contact time on the teeth, or why is it not quite as effective?
It mainly penetrates really nanometers, which is, I think you need 10,000 nanometers to be the size of a strand of hair. And I think it's only like 10 nanometers that are going to incorporate itself into the tooth. When you are having fluoridated water, anything that you're swallowing, it's going to incorporate not only in the teeth, but in the bones as well. And teeth will really, they're going to stop growing at 8 years old. And you continue to get fluoride throughout your life. So it's not really something that we need. There's a really good website people should take a look at. It's from the Fluoride Action Network. I'm not exactly sure what their URL is.
Yeah, and I can link that up in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Other things people do, you mentioned oil pulling. What are your thoughts on oil pulling?
Well, it's recommended that you use coconut oil, and it's about maybe a tablespoon or less that you're supposed to swish through your mouth, not swallow it, for about 20 minutes if you can hold it in there for that long. And what it does is that it pulls out the bacteria, and the oil will break through the cell membranes, and that bacteria then can incorporate itself in the oil. And then you want to just spit it out into a jar. You don't want to spit it out into the sink because it can coat the pipes and clog it. It is oil, but it's very effective. It's Ayurvedic, and it helps to prevent tooth decay and reduces the bacteria from gum disease. And it has supposedly has systemic effects as well.
I've been curious because they always say like you have to do it for so long. And I'm like, well, what if you only have like 5 minutes?
Is that
or not really?
You know what? 5 minutes is probably better than nothing.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. And yeah. I hear people say like you can put it in your mouth when you're going to get in the shower and swish it or whatever. But
yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. As far as diet goes, when we're talking about kind of dietary choices that support like a healthy mouth, what are some diet recommendations you have?
Of course, whole foods and fresh fruits, vegetables, organic, grass-fed meats. You know, people will tell you to stay away from the grains and the carbohydrates. That does have an effect on the pH of your system. It also affects the way bacteria will eat and feast on sugars. It's not so much the local bacteria that's on around your teeth, but it's systemic again. It causes the pH of your blood to lower, to be more acidic. A healthy diet is a healthy diet. So, I mean, if you're going to stick to, you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables and the grass-fed meats and the organic foods, I think that that's just going to be generally healthier for your whole body.
Yeah, I agree. And as a mom with two young kids, one question mm-hmm. I always have every time I go to the dentist, I like to ask, you know, what can we really do to keep their teeth healthy? What are your recommendations from a biological dentist perspective?
Well, their diet. I mean, you know, as kids get older, they tend to eat a lot more junk food. You just have to keep on top of them when you can in terms of their diet. I think that's so important. And of course, brushing their teeth correctly and doing it with the system we talked about, which was the essential oil mouthwash, the flossing, and the brushing afterwards. And especially if they have braces, they're going to need to know how to clean around that, how to floss in between, how to use floss threaders, not swallowing their toothpaste, using something that, you know, as they get older, you want to talk to them about not smoking. Let them show you how involved they can be in their own oral health. They like to have, they want to be popular, you know, as kids get older, and they want a nice smile and they want to be able to feel like they look good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can use that to be vain as well.
Sure. And when it comes to toothbrushes, are there certain toothbrushes you recommend for children? And you mentioned like a specific technique. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, children and adults, you want to use a softer toothbrush because you don't want to lacerate the gum tissue. And the technique of being able to effectively brush your teeth is to use a kind of a vibrational movement at a 45-degree angle between your tooth gums. And you want to massage that in so that the bristles can try and go underneath the gums, and then you want to flick it out. So, and get yourself a system so that you're doing the same thing all the time. You want to start with the upper right and then maybe go to the lower right and then into the inside of the mouth, the lower right, and then the palatal side, the upper right, and then you want to go to the other side. You want to make sure that you get every surface of every tooth, back teeth, front teeth. Turn your toothbrush around so that it's at 90 degrees when you're doing your lower incisors. Some people like to have a medium toothbrush. They feel like it's scrubbing better with their teeth. But, you know, I think you have to be more careful with that because you can lacerate the gums. So I prefer to have a softer toothbrush. And for children, you want to get one that's their size. You don't want to be too big.
Oh, that's a really good point. How about the electric toothbrushes?
Like them. It's not convenient all the time if you're going away or if you're, you know, at school or, you know, at work. So you still need to know how to use a regular toothbrush. But I think that if, you know, one of the things that electric toothbrushes do is that it makes you pay attention to all your teeth.
Right. I have one right now that has a timer on it. That does 2 minutes. And so it actually makes you think about brushing quite a bit longer too.
Well, you need to brush for 2 minutes with a regular toothbrush too.
Yeah. It's amazing how long 2 minutes seems like sometimes.
I know. I mean, most people can brush their teeth in 15 seconds and really that's not doing the job.
As far as healthy teeth as we age, that's another question that I think about a lot. Like seeing my parents and grandparents and things, people tend to have more problems with cracking teeth and, you know, all sorts of things as they get older. Are there ways to help age in a healthy way when it comes to the teeth?
Some of it has to do with genetics. Diet definitely plays an important part. Hygiene, a very important part. Sometimes when people are under stress, they have a tendency to grind their teeth, and this wears the teeth down, and that shifts the way of your bite and changes the muscles in your face and really down your whole spine too. I mean, people who complain of neck pain and back pain, it could be sourcing from their mouth, from tooth grinding, from lack of occlusion, a good occlusion. You have to really just pay attention to your stress level, to your diet, to, you know, how you're taking care of your teeth, seeing the dentist. Healthy aging, you know, is affecting everything. You know, if your diet isn't good and you have that poor digestion, it's going to be affecting your mouth as well.
Didn't even think about clenching and grinding affecting all the way down the spine.
Yeah.
Another thing that comes up quite a bit is bad breath. So what would be your kind of like holistic approach to dealing with bad breath?
Well, there's bad breath that comes from foods that you're eating. And then there's halitosis, which is something that's more severe that could be coming from bacterial breakdown in the mouth, periodontal disease, digestive problems could be coming from the stomach. You know, I think you have to take a look at the history, see what the diet is, see what there's other symptoms. There could be other digestive problems, bloating. For instance, belching, bowel movements are irregular. I mean, all of these things can be contributing to the halitosis, the bad breath that's coming. So, I mean, these are things that mouthwash will not really take care of. Whereas opposed to sometimes a food, even if you eat something like garlic or onions, you're still going to have bad breath, but that's going to go away.
That's an important distinction. When it comes to kind of healing or trying to address the causes of bad breath, more like halitosis, the ones that are coming from within, mm-hmm. Do you have any approaches to that?
Well, first you do want to clean up the mouth. So, I mean, that's something that the hygienist or the dentist is going to address of being able to get rid of the plaque and the calculus that is on the teeth so that you're not going to be attracting more bacteria. And, you know, of course, your home care is very important. But you want to make sure that, you know, you're working with another health professional that's going to work with their diet. And to make sure that they have enough water that they're drinking to be well hydrated because dryness of the mouth causes a lot of bacteria to proliferate. You know, are they getting enough sleep? Are they a mouth breather? I mean, there's so many things that can go into bad breath. But, you know, I mean, it's possible that there could be some underlying disease too.
And that brings up, from my perspective as a pharmacist, dry mouth a lot of times too can even be related to medications.
Yes.
When it comes to tongue scraping, I know Ayurvedically, there's a lot of tongue scraping with like the metal scrapers. What are your thoughts on tongue scraping?
I think that that's a good habit to be into. That's one of the things that people should do when they brush their teeth is to brush their tongue. And if they don't brush their tongue, then a tongue scraper is, you know, is good. I mean, I don't think that there's people that are going to have a coated tongue, and that could be an indication of something else going on in the body as well. But tongue scraping does remove more material from your mouth, which bacteria can have a tendency to feed on. If you're not having any health issues and you're able to brush your tongue, brush your teeth, and you have good oral health, I think that's probably sufficient.
Great. And I know you mentioned baking soda a little bit earlier as ways to kind of naturally whiten. Are there any other natural whiteners or natural approaches to getting whiter teeth that you would recommend?
Well, baking soda is really good when it's mixed with hydrogen peroxide. And what you can do is make a paste. You just take some of the baking soda and add just like a dropper full, you know, drops of peroxide to it so that it gets to be a thick paste, not runny. And then you can use that to brush your teeth as well. You just have to be careful you're not using too much peroxide because it can burn the tissues. And you'll see it bubble up in your mouth. Also, the coconut oil supposedly is also good for tooth whitening. Some people also have used charcoal, which is black, and you would think, you know, how could that possibly work? But supposedly, you know, it does. I haven't tried it myself.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. I'm going to wrap up with a couple last questions.
Okay.
The first one is, what does nourish mean to you?
Oh, nourish means to feed your body, your soul, and your spirit.
And then can you tell me about one thing you do for self-care pretty consistently?
Pretty consistently. Well, I walk every day 3 to 5 miles. I take yoga classes 3 to 4 times a week. I have a superfood green drink in the morning with a bunch of other seeds and nuts and fruits. I buy organic foods. I avoid sugar for the most part. I have a good relationship with my family, lots of friends, and keep myself busy.
Man, I think you've got it covered from every angle. That's great. Yeah. Can you tell me really quick, just out of my own curiosity, tell me about your superfood green drink.
Well, it has everything in it. It's really good with chlorella and spirulina and fresh freeze-dried organic vegetables, berries, a lot of antioxidants. And I throw in, organic almonds, chia seeds, ground flaxseed, sesame seeds, maca powder, coconut flakes, some like a third of a banana, half of an avocado, some ice cubes, blend it up, chug it down.
Wow. And is it pretty thick then?
It's very thick. It's like a thick milkshake.
Oh,
and it's very filling, and it's really gives you a lot of energy. Yeah, I love it.
I always love hearing those little tips. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today. It was just a pleasure talking with you. And I hope everyone will go check out exploreholistic.com. It is a fantastic website. And I'm going to link everything up in the show notes. Are there any last thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with today?
You know, just stay healthy, have a great attitude, and enjoy the beauty of every day. Be grateful.
Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week. The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes.